Annie. I woke up at dawn and laid there in the dim morning light. I laid very still, listening for her faint snore. She has developed a snore these last few years because of her age. Not hearing it this morning, I began to fear the worst. I eased myself out of bed and stood waiting to stabilize my balance. I have also gotten old and have fallen twice in the last month. I carefully walked to the front of the bed and strained through the dim light to see if Annie made it through the night. I saw her lying very still in her bed and couldn't tell if she was breathing. Annie was laying very straight on her side as I eased down to the floor for a closer look. I got within 6 inches of her face when one eye opened and she raised her head, giving me a look as if she was saying, "What the hell are you doing?" Annie is an 18-pound Tibetan Terrier. She's been my constant companion for 16 years. We've grown old together. I've had dogs all my life, but never one this smart and intuitive. She has a vocabulary of a 2-year-old child. She understands everything people say and answers back with head gestures and facial expressions and has a dominating personality. We understand and communicate with each other better than most people do. Lately, she has had days she can't hold down any food and has what appears to be having small strokes. Annie will have a day so bad, I think it is her last. The next day, she will be up out of bed, pestering me to get up to prepare her breakfast. Today is going to be one of the good days, I can already tell. She is up and at the door, studying my every move. Annie is checking me out. I have fallen twice this month and put her in a panic. Since then, she will not take her eyes off me. We head for the stairs down to the main floor and kitchen, and she demands to go first so she can get to the bottom and watch as I carefully start my descent. As I support myself with the banister, she gives me a nod with each step, as if to say, "That's it, slowly." What a pair we make. She has become farsighted with her old age and can't see the first 2 or 3 feet in front of her, so Annie must count the steps. About 20% of the time, she misses the last step and crashes her face into the bottom floor because she has lost count. We enter the kitchen, and I let her out into the yard and start our breakfast. Coffee and toast for me, and a scrambled egg for her. The coffee finished, I pour a cup and let Annie in, and we have our breakfast. "Annie, tell you what, after I finish my coffee, how would you like to go to the park this morning?" She looks up, and her eyes widen. She gives the nod and does a little dance in a circle. "Annie, sometimes I think you are only 3 and not 16. I finish my coffee and put my plate and mug in the dishwasher. As I start to the closet to get a jacket, Annie is at the front door, having a seizure. I get down on the floor and hold her close to me. Her eyes are filled with fear as she struggles to breathe. Holding her comforts her, and after about 3 minutes, the episode is over. Her small body relaxes, and we sit there a while longer. "You still want to go to the park?" She gets up out of my lap and goes to the door. We get out to the car, and I open the back door for her. It is always the same routine. She stands back about 4 feet to see the door opening clearly. Then she walks straight up to it and jumps into and on the car's floorboard, feeling the seat on her side, then up onto the back seat. I'm amazed at how well she has learned to compensate for not seeing up close. She focuses on the door opening at 4 feet, decides where she will enter the car, then walks up and jumps into the abyss. We get to the park, and I find a place to park the car. I park away from any other cars to make it easy for Annie to get out. I open the back door, and she walks to the edge of the seat and strains to see the ground, which I don't think she can. I walk up to lift her out, and quickly she walks back to the other side of the seat and gives me the kind of disgusted look you would expect from a woman whose bottom you just grabbed in the grocery store line. Okay, Annie, have it your way. I only was trying to help. I step back a few feet and watch as she studies the distance from my knees to the ground and the doorway. Then she walks to the end of the seat and jumps to the ground, then looks at me and walks away with an attitude. The park has a large meadow that is about 3 acres. If no one is around, I take her off leash. As soon as the leash is off, she is on a dead run. We have a rule we have agreed to. If I whistle, she stops and makes eye contact. If I nod, she can go back to what she is doing. If I show her the leash, she will come back and sit while I put her on the leash. In the past, she would run through the meadow for an hour. These days, about 50 feet, then a slow walk around, never getting far from me because of my recent falling. I start to walk through the meadow when I clutch my chest and lower myself to the ground. I reach into my pocket and take out my nitroglycerin pills. Opening the bottle, I take one out, place it under my tongue, lay back on the grass, and close my eyes. In an instant, Annie is there and nudges me with her nose. I open my eyes and turn my head to look at her profoundly concerned look. She then lies beside me. After 10 minutes, I am feeling better and stand, and we head for the car. Once home, we both have a small snack. I turn on the TV to watch the business channel as Annie gets comfortable in her bed. Soon, we are asleep. Annie in her bed and me in my reclining chair. After our nap, it's time for a small lunch. A can of soup for me, and a small treat for Annie. There is a knock at the door, and I get up to answer it. Annie and I answer it, and find Jim, my neighbor, standing on the porch. Jim is maybe 45 years old, 5 feet 8 inches tall, and a little overweight. He is married and has 2 children. Jim and his family live 5 houses down the street. He works a lot from home and checks on me once or twice a week. He always makes an excuse for coming by, but seems relieved when I answer the door and I'm not lying dead on the floor. Hello, Jim. What brings you by? I finished my work for the day and thought I would come by and see if you were up for a game of chess. Sure. Come on in. The board is set up. Make yourself comfortable, and I will get 2 glasses of wine. I returned with the wine, and partway through the game, I said to Jim, I appreciate you coming by to check on me from time to time. Jim kept staring at the board, studying his next move, and wondering where this was heading. I then put a key on the table and slid it to him. May I ask a favor of you? Looking at the key, then up, Jim said, Sure, Mark, anything. One of these times, I will not answer the door. I pause. I want you to come in and find me. Annie will be frightened enough. I don't want a bunch of EMT personnel coming in with her still here. She likes you a lot and enjoys the children when they come over. If you would take her home before the EMT get here. I pause, finding the right words. Would you take her in as a pet? Of course, Mark. With a concerned look, his voice changed as he continued. Are you okay? Do you need to go to the doctor, Mark? Nah, I will be fine. I just don't want someone to find me and get upset, calling EMT and causing a traumatic situation for Annie. Mark, what about your children? Can't you move in with one of them? Or sell the place and move to an assisted living place? I never see my children. I send them gifts for their birthday, and they don't even take the time to call and let me know they received them. I could never live with them. To move to a different home while Annie is alive would be the death of her. We have our routine. Annie loves the backyard, and her eyesight is getting worse. She has the yard memorized. On warm days, she spends a lot of time patrolling the back. It makes her feel useful and earning her keep. I could never take that away from her. Jim looked back down at the board and, moving his knight, said, We would love to have Annie. Wrong move, Jim. Checkmate. We both sat up leaned back in our chairs, and finished our wine. "One of these times I will beat you, Mark." Jim stood and headed for the door. I stood and followed him. At the door, Jim stopped and reached out and shook my hand. "Mark, I will do as you ask." He then pulled me close and gave me a hug and left. I turned, and Annie was sitting there looking at me. "Maybe you're right, Annie. Next time I will let him win." Annie nodded her head in approval, and we headed for the kitchen for a snack for the two of us. The rest of the afternoon went by quickly. Annie spent a lot of time patrolling the backyard and barking at anything she thought was invading, a stray cat or lizard. Annie came in at dinner time, and the rest of the evening we watched TV together. Finally, it was bedtime, and we trudged our way up the stairs. She looked so old and frail by the end of the day. I am sure she's hanging on because she doesn't want to die first and leave me alone. I guess I feel the same. Annie got settled into her bed, and I did the same. Lying in the dark, I thought to myself, tomorrow, if she's up to it, I will take her to the beach. She'd love that. Then I heard her little snore. I smiled. Thank you, Lord, for today. With some luck, we will have another.